Our scripture is Micah 3, 5 through 12. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and the darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners shall be put to shame. Thus they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare that Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob, the chief of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equality, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price, its prophets give oracles for money, yet they lean upon the Lord and say, surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, in the mountains of the house, a wooden height. Thanks, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Scriptures before us. This is Matthew 23. Are you ready to hear, to listen? Maybe if we stand up, we hear better. I invite you, if you're capable, to stand and listen to the gospel. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the places of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. I noted in the bulletin that I called it the state of the church, and I realized that we never answered that question. The state of the church is Colorado. Got that out of the way. Hard to have this sermon this morning because it feels a little anticlimactic compared to what we've been, but we have some problems going on in our country and in the world around us. We have things that are happening that are a struggle. And I'm a little worried about a growing visibility of racism, white supremacy, and discrimination. I am a Pollyanna, which means I'm an eternal optimist, and I hope that it doesn't mean an increase in that, just that it's becoming more visible where we can see it. Have you ever had a sliver, and you didn't know you had the sliver until later it begins to hurt, and you keep ignoring until it festers up, and finally you work on it until you take care of it? Maybe that's where this is. I pray it is the case. I hear of lack of civility. Mostly in government high places and news articles. And I'm concerned about that. Now, the Pollyanna and me, again, did you know that the Astros won the... Houston. They had a parade in Houston. Did you see that on the news? And the film clip that actually made the news was astonishing. There was a parking garage along the route, and there was five or six levels of parking garage. And somebody way up high was waving their hat, apparently, and lost it, their baseball cap. And it fell all the way to the ground, and the people on the ground looked up and saw it there. And so on the first level, somebody took it and threw it up to the second level. And everybody clapped. Yay! And somebody on the second level grabbed it and threw it up to the third level. And it went all the way. It got to the fourth level and they missed. And it came back down. There was this, oh! And then they threw it up and they caught it and everyone cheered. That's not a lack of civility. So I'm wondering if our view has been skewed by news media. And we are the ones that direct news media. So they're going where people follow links. So we want to see those other things. So maybe we're seeing the things that we don't like that are the most... I'm not sure how that works. We'll leave that aside, but it's a problem. And a further problem is corruption in high places. We've heard of a movie director. We've heard of actors. We've heard of politicians. We've heard of people who have violated our trust, who have done things, deceptive, corrupt things. And we have this problem with biased fake news stuff going on. This is amazing. News stories that people are picking up on and then sharing those things that are not true. I always worry about that Bible commandment that says not to bear false truths. We need to be careful. So it seems in some respects one could take a very pessimistic view and say our nation, our world, they're in terrible straits. And this seems awful. And yet here is Micah this morning. We hear this out of Scripture, and Micah's talking about rulers who give judgment for bribes and priests who teach for a price and prophets who give oracles for money. Prophecy, by definition, needs to be God's word to the people. And here are prophets that are telling people what they want to hear because they make more money and they get referred and other people hire them. You want somebody, if you're going to pay somebody to prophesy for you, you want them to give you good news, don't you? And so they are not telling truths. They are telling people what they want to hear. There's a certain piece of me. How many of you remember Simon and Garfunkel? They had a song and it says, I get the news I need on the weather report. I get all the news I need on the weather report. What song is that? Tell me later. I haven't been able to come up with it for 2 days now. It's been bugging me. Now, I believe that these United States are good, God-fearing nation. I believe that we are in the midst of that and that there are people who have done things they shouldn't, and they will get in trouble. We have the perfect judge. We have a judge that can't be biased, can't be bought, can't be deluded, can't be misdirected, and can't be hindered by anyone's laws or rules or technicalities. And so we have the perfect judge. And I'm trying to walk on the straight and narrow path. Trying being the operative word. We're all trying, are we not? We're all moving on to perfection, are we not? So I believe that God is with us. And so we can sit back and say, surely the Lord is with us and no harm will come to us. Surely God is with us and knows we're trying and that we're doing our best and that God is with us. Unfortunately, that's the quote directly out of Micah. The people are saying this and the response from God is a little frightening. Therefore, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house shall be an overgrown jungle thicket. That's not very good news. That's reminding us that this is God's created place. And that God is going to bring uncreation, return to the Temple Mount, to the term in our New Revised Standard Version is a mountain thicket. But that sounds kind of nice, actually. The reference means untamed, wild, chaotic, dangerous, uncreated. And the second piece of what we're hearing in Micah is that we have some responsibility beyond ourselves. It's easy to do that. It's easy to sit back and say, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to walk the straight and narrow. And I'm just going to try and stay on the, you know, keep it all together, which is a big job. We all know that each of us is a big job by ourselves, aren't we? Or am I the only one that gets overwhelmed? So we'll just work on ourselves, and if the rest of the world gets in trouble, that's not our job. And Micah's saying it is our job. We need to have a nation that is faithful, a nation that is righteous, a world that is fair, a world that reaches out to the less fortunate, that cares for the widows and the orphans. That's the phrase Jesus used most often. That's the group, the socioeconomic group that were the most at risk in Jesus' time. Not so much today, but we have groups at risk today. And if we are not engaging with them, Jesus will have a word with us. So what are we going to do about that? How are we going to stop these abuses of power? How are we going to stop these things that happen? How are we going to intervene with people filled with hate that walk into a Walmart? What are we going to do about that? It's overwhelming. Am I the only one that feels overwhelmed? Or all of you kind of thinking, this is hard to put on my to-do list? I have good news. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't seem like that. And I'm hesitant to walk near it, to take on this task before us. I don't think I can bear, but I don't have to, you see, because you guys are walking with me. Your sister church at Jefferson Avenue, those people are walking with us. The people over at St. Mark's, even if they're Lutherans. I have to pick on Rich Schneer whenever I can. I don't get very many opportunities. His walk is good. But all of us Christians gathered together are we're walking together, and we can shoulder to shoulder, and we can step up and begin to do something. And it doesn't end there. You see, Jesus left. He said, I will not leave you destitute. I will leave with you the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos. This Spirit that is upon us, that will be with us every second of every moment, helping, nurturing, guiding, inspiring, and lifting us. The scribes and the Pharisees, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others. Now, we're not going to pass this burden off. We got to do it together, and we can. Kind of like that crowd at the Astros. Somebody could have taken the hat and gone in the garage and run up four flights, however many miles it would have taken in a parking garage. You ever been lost in a parking garage? But the crowd came together, the people worked together, there was a unity of purpose, and we can do things, amazing things when that happens. We have to be ready to. And in some places, people that haven't heard the good word of Christ and aren't aware, we need to help them and show them and lead them and invite them to be a part. We can do great and amazing things. I watch the news at night, and sometimes I think I watch too much news. But we can't separate ourselves from that. Micah says we have to invest there too. And even though I watch the news, then I am in the world and I experience people day to day, and I see people doing awesome, incredible, wonderful things. And we need to be in the midst of that. And we can and we should and we will. Amen.